Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Morning. You all right?
How are you doing?
I hope you're doing well on this lovely wintry morning. It is 8 a.m. Greenwich Mean Time on Friday, the 16th of January, in the year of our Lord, 2026. You are watching Breakfast with Bo, the Bo Show. You are the Breakfast Club. The BBC Bro's Breakfast Club. You're part of the glorious band, the chosen few. The select few. I'm joined by my producer, Harry. Young Harry, how are you, little Harry? You all right?
Morning. Yeah, I'm good.
Good. All right, well, let's just try and jump straight into it. Today is one of those days where one story absolutely dominates. It's wall-to-wall Robert Jenrick. It's the Jenrick defection. It's literally, I think, the front page of every single paper. So we'll get into it. I'm no fan of Jenrick, as will become clear during this stream. All right, let's have a look then. So the BBC sacked Jenrick defects and traitories. It's a really, really tenuous pun on traitors. Traitories. That's a proper stretch for me in terms of wordplay. Traitories. Okay. All right. The Guardian. The Guardian goes with sacked Jenrick defects to reform with fiery attack on failed Tories. There we go. Badenoch fires Shadow Justice Secretary for plotting against her. All right, so let's just jump straight into a few details. It was yesterday, sort of lunchtime, was it? Maybe just slightly after lunchtime, about lunchtime. The story breaks coming out of Conservative Party HQ that Kemi Badenoch, the leader of the Tory party, tiny little Nigerian woman, trying to claim she's British, little Nigerian woman who somehow has been able to control the leader of the opposition party in Parliament, made a statement, came out and said that she'd sacked Robert Jenrick. She'd sacked him from the Shadow Cabinet because he was like Shadow Justice Secretary. And she'd removed the whip from him. She's certainly not even, not only not in Cabinet, but not even, you know, welcome in the parliamentary Tory party, and that she'd removed his membership from the party entirely. So in other words, deleted him from the Conservative Party ranks as hard as she possibly could. Don't blame her for that. I'm not blaming her for that. I'm just saying that's what she did. This is what happened about lunchtime. That came out. Big news. Breaking. Read all about it. So that happened at lunchtime. And she'd said in that statement as well that it was because she'd got clear, like, an irrefutable evidence that he'd planned to defect. And then she also said that not only had he planned to defect, that he planned to do it in such a way that was, like, really embarrassing for the Conservative Party and even his shadow cabinet colleagues. She didn't go into any further detail about exactly what that meant, what she meant by that exactly, but okay. And she said, the British people are tired of such things. Are we? I'm not tired of seeing the Tory party implode. Are we tired? She was like, everyone's tired of all these psychodramas. Like, no. Not really. If it means the Tory party dies quicker, bleeds out quicker, I'm all for it. Bring it on. I'll have one of those a day. The thing about Jenrick, though, is that he's like high profile. Anyone who might not know, he narrowly avoided becoming the leader of the Conservative Party. Kemi Badenoch edged him out at the last moment to become the leader. So he's very nearly, he's basically sort of leadership material. You know, people can see how he might be the leader of a party, even Prime Minister. We'll talk about that in a moment, how Nige might feel about that. You know, another shining star, someone who's almost shines almost as brightly as he does. So Robert Jenrick. It's the biggest defection so far. No two ways about that. Because even that Nadhim Zahawi fella, who used to be Chancellor, he's actually not a sitting MP. Whereas Jenrick is. So Reform's number of actual sitting current MPs has just ticked up one. And that's absolutely not nothing. When you've only got, like, five. Is it five they've got at the moment? Four or five, they tick up on round four or five. They get a new one and then sack one. They're about five, so I guess now they're six. Okay, so Robert Jenrick apparently polls reasonably well. You know, most sort of Tory people, anyway, seem to like him. He comes out and seems to say base things. I don't trust him as far as I can throw him. I'll get into all that in a moment, my personal opinion of the man, in a moment. Let's just keep talking about the story. So all that happened about lunchtime yesterday. And then later in the afternoon, was it late afternoon or early evening time, Nige calls a press conference, a Reform press conference. And he says, it's a little bit funny that he was gloating that Kemi had given him a late birthday present. Stuff like that. Yeah, making all jokes like that and gloating a little bit, being a bit smug about it in Nigel's way. But that's okay. I find it kind of funny. and then he called out Robert Jenrick. He announced Robert Jenrick. And Robert Jenrick actually wasn't there. They just left Nigel standing there for like a few minutes before he came out on stage. It was obviously a mistake. I highly doubt Robert Jenrick deliberately meant to do that to make Nigel look a bit silly. Anyway, that happened. And then Robert Jenrick comes out, he does a little speech, a little disingenuous speech, if you ask me, about how the Tories are broken and they're not sorry and they won't and can't change. And that Reform is the answer. You were part of the problem until literally this morning, Robert. Sorry, Robert. Weren't you the immigration minister for like over a year? All through like 2023, basically. If I recall, I looked it up this morning, but I think it was like October 2022 to December 2023. Jenrick was the immigration minister. So how are you not part of the problem? Again, it's the same thing, a lot of criticisms of that Nadhim Zahawi defection, is that isn't this exactly the sort of person Reform is supposed to be an option against? You know, if he was right-leaning, right of centre, you know, and you wanted to vote for somebody, something more based, more nativist, more patriotic, more, dare I say, nationalist than the Conservative Party. Isn't Reform, I mean, at all, your only option, realistically, that could win seats. The only option is Reform. So it's exactly the people that were in all the Conservative governments that did all the damage, really, that you don't want someone like Nadhim Zahawi. And Robert Jenrick, in my opinion. I don't trust him. I don't believe him when he comes out with gaslighting red meat things that he says. That's sort of his reputation, is it, Robert Jenrick, basically, a little bit. That he's one of the hardest lines, one of the hardest right voices in the Conservative Party. Don't trust it. Don't believe it. At all. I don't trust it. I don't believe it. At all. Not at all. It's all just red meat. It's all just gaslighting. It's all just performative. I don't trust him at all. What, the guy that was the immigration minister during one of the periods of the most insanely traitorous open borders area times during, like, what, during Boris? Or is it Rishi? All that time. The last handful of years of the Conservatives, whoever it was, May, Boris, Rishi. He was an immigration minister for well over a year during that period. He really, he's the guy. He's the based guy, is he? And then you say, I was moaning about it the whole time, trying to get loads of stuff done. I just couldn't. Don't believe you. Don't trust you. Don't buy that. People say that about Suella Breverman. Suella Breverman was trying really hard. It was just Rishi wouldn't allow her to do the right thing. I don't buy that. Don't buy that for a couple of reasons. One, it's not just about the Prime Minister. It's this idea of cabinet responsibility. It's the whole cabinet take responsibility. So someone like Suella Breverman or Jenrick, just ignoring that now, just blaming it all on the Prime Minister. The other thing is, if you was genuinely thwarted from doing your job, you would have quit a lot earlier. It wouldn't have taken you like 14 months to quit. So I don't buy it. I don't trust him. Oh, really? Robert Jenrick? Robert Jenrick's the based one, is he? He's the super based one, is he? The one that let in like 20,000 Afghans, like under the cover of darkness. Not that long ago. Really? We're going to trust him? This is what he wrote about that Afghan refugee. He says, welcoming Afghan refugees is a national project. This was written by the Right Honourable Robert Jenrick MP. These are his words. Right? Afghans, who, statistically speaking, crime rates are through the roof. Sex crime is absolutely through the roof as a per capita thing. We don't want any I don't want any Afghans in this country. None. And he just welcomed over like thousands, 20,000. Was it something in the order of 20,000? It was thousands and thousands and thousands. Again, basically secretly. Really, Jenrick's going to do what's needed under in a reform government to save the country, is he? He didn't stop the boats. They didn't really try to stop the boats, did they? When he was immigration minister. I don't buy it that there's like they tried really hard and just couldn't. Nonsense. In this, he says it's so manipulative. Let me just read a bit of it. As the last US military aircraft lifted off from the airport that had witnessed both unimaginable tragedy and remarkable heroism in the preceding weeks, just an 8-hour flight away in my Nottinghamshire constituency, I walked to a house in a peaceful corner of my local town. Won't be that peaceful for much longer. In my local town, to meet an Afghan family who are now my newest constituents. Oh, this is great, by the way. According to him, I mean. Oh, this is great. Armand Dula, his wife and their daughter had arrived in the UK 3 weeks back, served their time in a quarantine hotel and were now settled in a house, thanks to the prompt response of the local council and the generosity of the local church, a world away from the tumult of Kabul. They greeted me at their new front door. They radiated grace and dignity and were effusive with their gratitude to those who had helped them. His name was Wayne Broadhurst, Robert. Afghans commit an insane amount of violent crime and sex crime. But in this article, he goes on to say how brilliant it is that Armand Dula and his family are now here. What a brilliant thing it is. A wonderful, correct, the right thing to do. That he effectively smuggled in thousands and thousands. Robert Jenrick effectively smuggled in thousands and thousands of Afghans. What does it say? The government is providing councils with funding for housing, education, healthcare, English language training and support workers to look after families, these new families. Oh, are they great? Brilliant. While 2 million of our elderly people face freezing or starving to death. Thanks for that. And job centres are already preparing to help people to find jobs and we'll be working with community groups the length and breadth of the country. We also want to ensure long-term integration. Do we? Do we, Robert? I don't want these people here at all. I don't want them to attempt to integrate. Integration is a sieve net fantasy anyway. It never happens. It basically never happens. I mean, a tiny bit once in a blue moon. But I don't want to, like, force Afghan nationals to integrate, to, like, pretend they're British now. What nonsense. Oh, but Jenrick says, we also want to ensure long-term integration, which is a two-way street, is it? What, Britain becoming more Afghan? What do you mean it's a two-way street? What are you talking about? Britain is a country which, with rules and values. We seek to ensure that this effort and the broader Afghan resettlement scheme the Prime Minister has announced to help others who are particularly vulnerable to come to the UK. So more, wants more in the years ahead. Are exemplars in achieving a united and integrated country. No, it isn't. What are you talking about? It's the opposite of that. You're making it more dangerous. Making it more divided. He says there, not diverse, but divide. Not diverse, but divided one. Among other things, that will mean care to place families in all parts of the UK. An increased attention to English language training and an introduction to British cultural and civic life. So he wants Afghans to be smeared across all the country. This is mad globalism. This is insane, traitorous globalism. This is the type of person who you don't want in government. You certainly wouldn't want as an immigration minister. Don't believe that Robert Jenrick is this, like, based person. This, like, someone with nativist interests at heart. He isn't. He just isn't. He's a globalist. He's as much a globalist as Boris or any one of these people. Absolutely. Jenrick is the based one. Please. Brave men and women like Amandula and his wife are now our new country men and women. There you go. Just a straight up statement of it. They are our new compatriots. They are just British now. They are just English. They are just one of us now. What, because you put them on an aeroplane, Robert? Really? We've just got to accept that now. Their children are future members of our armed forces. Doubt that. Teachers, doctors and entrepreneurs. They've come out of a tragic and at times terrifying situation, but are now in a place of safety, freedom and opportunity. We will do everything. We will do everything we can to ensure their new lives in the UK are happy and successful. Oh, great. Brilliant. Cheers for that, Robert. Cheers. Brilliant. There you go. Nige welcoming him with open arms. Just welcoming him. There you go. He's one of the he's the most base Tories, if anything. Well, we'll see. We'll see. The fact that he is sort of shines as brightly as Nigel, with name recognition almost on the level of Nigel, not quite, but, you know, up there, certainly. If not a household name, approaching a household name. One of the more famous politicians, Robert Jenrick, right? Speaks well. I'm not going to deny that. I'm not denying that. You know, he's a good communicator, as they say. You know, he comes across well on, like, Newsnight or something. So there you go. What else we got? Middle East allies urge Trump not to strike Iran. Yeah, apparently a load of the other Middle Eastern countries just asked Trump, don't just start tomahawking Iran, please. Apparently he heard that. We'll see. We'll see. Last time he attacked Iran, Trump, last year, he was like making out that he wasn't going to, or it wasn't any time soon, and then suddenly it happened. So we'll still see on that. The Sun. Everything is about this Jenrick defection today. Everything. All the front pages. So The Sun, you might have remember I mentioned earlier in the week, or was it the end of last week, there's this show on television, The Traitors, which is really popular. And the Sun of a really, really tortured pun, traitories, however you know, like traitors, but Tories in it. It's sad. It's crap. Dumped MP dishes dirt. Banished to Jenrick in defection to Farage. Sacked by Kemi after plot rumbled. Why do they talk like that? Why do they write it like that? In that tone, with that sort of intonation, with that sort of... Banished to Jenrick in defection to Farage. That's not really proper English. I mean, I don't know why they do it. The Metro... The secret traitor. Again, they went with this, an allusion to that show, The Traitors. Shock Tory defection echoes drama on TV. Well, only because you say it does. Doesn't really, does it? Anyway. The Eye Paper. Day of poison and betrayal as UK's right-wing feud deepens. I mean, none of these people are right-wing. Kemi Badenoch and the Conservative Party are just straight-up globalists, occasionally making a lame attempt to pretend they're not. And Conservatives and Reform are exactly the same thing. So none of them are right-wing. Tory leader sacks and expels her rival, Robert Jenrick. Harry, can you just make this a bit bigger? You just scroll up, make it a bit bigger for me. There you go. Okay. Okay, that's fine. Okay. Tory leader sacks and exiles her rival, Robert Jenrick, before he defects to Reform as star signing. Like it's football. It's a star signing. Member of Jenrick's inner circle discovered his treachery and revealed plans to Kemi Badenoch. He says top Conservatives are, quote, betraying voters and not sorry for their mistakes in government. Well, I haven't heard him say sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to. It was a mistake. I haven't heard him say anything like it was a mistake to import those 20,000 Afghans. No, from that article I read you a moment ago, he thinks it's great. Spread them across the length and breadth of Britain. Spend loads of money trying to teach them English and cultural civic values, British civic values. Get more of them over. Make Britain more sort of Afghani. I've never heard him recant any of that or say sorry for any of that. And I didn't hear a dicky bird out of him about the murder of Wayne Broadhurst. Oh, but when there was a shooting by a Syrian in a synagogue, oh, then it was a problem. Then it was terrible and there's a travesty and things must be done. Not a peep about Wayne Broadhurst, who was murdered at the hands of an Afghan migrant, by the way, if you don't know that, who that is. I wonder if Wayne Broadhurst haunts Robert Jenrick. No, I doubt it. I doubt it because he obviously doesn't care. It's all smiles. He'll hope to be back in government in 3 years under Nuaj. Doesn't he? He probably will be. Probably will be as well. That's the thing of it. Okay. What else did he say? He's in the government where he was a cabinet minister and vows to make Nigel Farage UK to make Nigel Farage UK's next prime minister. Badenoch and Farage both claim to be jubilant. I get how Nigel Farage's world and in his paradigm and in his worldview, he could and it would be jubilant. That makes sense. There's a logic to that in Nigel's world, in Nigel's mind. What has Kemi Badenoch got to be jubilant about? But defection to nemesis widens rift on UK right. Again, none of them are right. None of them are of the right whatsoever. Not even close, really. Not even close. Barely centrists. The centrist position is like mass remigration and to not demographically replace a native people in their own ancestral homeland. That's sort of a centrist position, really. And they're not that. None of them are that. They're all globalists. They're all, we just have to accept it being overrun by Islam and foreign people. And it's impossible to reverse all of that. That's what all of these people are, the Conservatives and Reform. Conservatives and the Reform are an exercise in containment. To contain the real right, to make sure the real right never gets a voice or any seats and things. That's what they are. They stand in the way of that. I mean, you know, Nigel's happily gloating about how over the years he's helped deflate and deflect and destroy various right-wing actual right-wing movements. Nationalist, nativist, populist, patriotic, nationalist movements that he'll destroy them all. And he's proud of it. You know? That's what Nigel is. Okay. The Independent. Police chief in football fan row still clings on to his job as Streeting joins clamour for him to resign. Okay. Jenrick defects as gloating Farage taunts Badenoch. Farage thanks Tory leader for jumping gun and delivering Robert Jenrick to Reform on a plate. After firing him for defection plot and boasts of a Labour deserter to come. That's interesting. Yeah, that's in the news a little bit there. Apparently, Nigel said, there's a Labour deserter to come. We don't know who it is yet. as generic trashy Tories who have broken Britain. You broke Britain, Robert. You were part of breaking Britain. Take some responsibility. He's not going to take any responsibility, is he? He's not going to accept that he was, that he did. Like that Nadim Zahawi talking about how the Tories have done so many bad things and Nigel needs to come and save it all and fix it all. It was you. It was you personally. It's not like you were just a councillor or just a member of the party or a backbencher. You were in government. You were in the cabinet. Take responsibility. You can't avoid it. History will say that you are responsible. That's the nature of cabinet responsibility. If anyone doesn't know what that is, it's the idea that when there's a big decision to be made by government, right, let's say, well, any big decision that the cabinet makes, it's that legally, properly, formally, legally, everyone that's in the cabinet, so that's usually between 20 people, sometimes as much as 30 people in that sort of number of people, everyone that's in the cabinet, all take, and I'm talking legally, formally, they all take responsibility for it. The idea of that is that there's a group, you know, a collective responsibility, so that no one individual cabinet member can be basically prosecuted after the fact. Or that they would all need to be. You know, that's the idea. So if you were in cabinet during the Tory years, it really is on you. It really is your fault. All the things they did that were wrong and bad and disastrous and not in the interests of the country and the people. But smiling Robert Jenrick doesn't want to talk about that. He just wants to talk about how good reform and Nige is and how he's going to help them out. These filthy snakes. It's a snake of a man, Robert Jenrick. Don't trust him. That's my opinion. Take it or leave it. That's my opinion. Take it or leave it. You know, you don't have to. Right, Daily Mirror. Would you trust any of them? Oh, okay, the Mirror, actually. That's not a bad take, is it? Would you trust any of them? Yeah, good question, the Mirror. Farage's party of Tory failures. I'd forgotten that one. I forgot the Mirror had like gone with that angle. Yeah, a party of traitorous failures. Nige thinks that's the road to government. Well, he's probably going to be in government. He's probably going to actually win the next general election. But and most of the supporters on the actual right won't be happy about it. About the route he's going. All right, Badenoch sacks Jenrick after betrayal leak. Then he joins man who called him a fraud. Yeah, apparently not too long ago. I think it was only like summer last year. Not long ago at all. Farage had called Jenrick a fraud. But now they're best buddies. Look, shaking hands, laughing with delight, with joy. Yeah, it's so funny, Nigel, isn't it? You're so funny, mate. Yeah. These people. Psychos. Psychos. Jenrick joins reform with blast at rotten Tories. You were a rotten Tory until that morning. Ugh, it's so weird. Lots of politicians always like to think that you've not got a memory. That whatever they're saying now in the moment just makes sense regardless of what has been. Do you think, Robert, do you think we don't remember that you were the immigration minister in 2023? We're supposed to not remember that when you were repeatedly gaslighting us, saying, oh, I'm trying to stop the small boats. No, you know, no, you weren't. No, you weren't. The Times, I told you, it's every single one. Jenrick defects to reform after sacking by Badenoch. All right, let's just move on. The Tory Graph, Jenrick, Tories broke Britain. Okay. The Mail. The Mail got something else? No. And the Mail say, Britain's economy is moribund, our borders broken, our armed forces badly depleted in a world of peril, and our PM's an ocean-going socialist dud. I don't know what they mean by that. An ocean-going socialist dud. It's a funny way of putting it. I don't think I've ever heard that expression before. An ocean-going socialist. What does that mean? Anyway, as Jenrick's defection rocks the right, the Daily Mail's message to reform and the Tories, .. stop fighting each other and end the Labour nightmare. Well, Nige says he'll never do that. And I think Kemi, I'm pretty sure Kemi has also said he'll never do that. Like, join each other in a pact. I mean, when push comes to shove, they might anyway, you know, after the next general election. Imagine this. There's so many ways it could play out at the next general election. Imagine this. Reform get the most seats, but it's not quite enough just to form a government. Right? And if Labour and Lib Dems and Greens and some of the other smaller parties, like your party or whatever, if they all team together and Islamic independence, if they all make a coalition, that'll be enough to beat Reform. And so the only way for Reform to avoid a Lib-Lab-Green coalition is to form a coalition with the Tories. Now, that might sound really convoluted and unlikely, like a one in a million chance something like that would happen. Not really. That's not that unlikely. That's not that mad that that sort of could play out like that. Depending on what happens in the polls. I mean, as the polls are at the moment, it looks like Reform will just win outright. Wouldn't need to do that. But it's possible because what a lot of parties, in a lot of countries, what a lot of the leftist parties and centre-left parties will do in order to keep, like the AfD or Geert Wilders or Marine Le Pen, in order to keep them out of power, they will form any coalition, regardless of how sort of incongruous or silly it is on paper, they will form that coalition to make sure the centre-right doesn't have power. I would imagine exactly the same thing would play out in Britain. If, you know, the Greens, the Libs, the Labours, everyone else, maybe even the Conservatives would join that coalition to keep Reform out, even though Reform are milquetoast, barely centrist. There you go. I mean, when you look at the AfD, they're not far, they're barely centre-right, really. Le Pen, same thing. Geert Wilders is a little bit better, in my opinion. But still, right, they're not really right-wing. They're certainly not far-right. Certainly not. And yet, all the powers that be will range against them as hard as they possibly can to keep them out. If Reform don't win enough seats outright to form a government, I imagine there'll be some sort of massive coalition against them. So in that instance, they might just join with the Conservatives. I don't think they'll do it before then, just because, I mean, they may well might, but just because the Tories and Farage are sort of have said they won't so many times and so vehemently they've said it. Like, it's been his line in the sand since day one, where he's always said, I absolutely will not, under any circumstances, merge with or join or be in any sort of pact with the Tories. I kind of believe him on that, although I believed him that the Brexit Party was actually going to run in elections. And he betrayed everyone on that one, didn't he? Okay, well, the Financial Times. Jenrick joins Reform after Badenoch gives him sack for plotting to defect. Okay. The Star. Money for old dope. They're calling Nigel a dope. Money for old dope. Greedy Nigel's video nasty. Farage duped into pedo tribute. Little bit of an and finally thing from the Star as usual. This is a story. Okay. A bit embarrassing. There's a website or an app called Cameo. Anyone who might not know this, I didn't know this until just a few months ago. There's some sort of app called Cameo, right? And if you're famous, not necessarily full-blown famous like Nigel, enjoying actual national or even international fame, if you're just like an influencer and you've got a few thousand followers or whatever, you can go on this thing called Cameo and people ask you and pay you money to like say something, to say a message. Like someone says, wish my nan happy birthday or whatever. And you read out, dear Gladys, happy 85th birthday, love. Well done. Right. And that's it. And you get, then someone pays you to do that. Or anything. They can pay you to do anything. It's up to you, obviously, if you want to do it or not. Cameo. That's what Cameo is, right? Nigel Farage, Prime Minister in waiting, supposed to be a statesman. is on Cameo and does Cameo things. It's weird. And people, younger people, have sort of duped him one way or another into saying things that are mildly embarrassing before. Things that, like, a man in his 60s. I actually don't know how old Nigel Farage is. I guess he's in his 60s, is he? Anyway. Someone like Nigel Farage, who's supposed to be trying to generate and garner gravitas and authority, they get him to say silly, dumb things. Silly, dumb Zoomer things. Okay, so that's that. That's what, yeah, for a small amount of money. I thought Nigel Farage is already a millionaire. Surely he's already a multi-millionaire, Nigel Farage. Surely. Why does he need like a little bit more money? Why does he need like 50 quid here and 100 quid there? So this story is that somebody paid him £75 to pay tribute to, and I don't know exactly what that means. I certainly haven't seen the clip myself. But he paid tribute to Ian Watkins. If you don't know who Ian Watkins is, he used to be the lead singer of Lost Prophets and then is also a really, really, really prolific paedophile who then went to prison and got murdered in prison because he was such a paedophile, Ian Watkins. Ian Watkins, shorthand for one of the worst human beings ever. On Cameo, Nigel paid him tribute for 75 quid. Mad, isn't it? Mad. Probably our future Prime Minister. You don't need 75 quid, Nigel. You don't need 75 quid. Why did you do that? Have you not got any political acumen? You've not got any sense? Have you not got any sense? Why are you doing that? Why are you on Cameo at all? Silly old git. Calm down a bit, Bo. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. All right. Let's move on to the actual websites. BBC. Venezuelan Nobel Prize winner presents her medal to Trump. Trump thanked Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado, calling it a wonderful gesture of mutual respect. Yeah, so that woman, one of the opposition leaders in Venezuela, Machado, has visited Trump there. And she's got a Nobel Peace Prize, and she sort of presented it to Trump, who's always coveted one. Thinks he deserves one. Nobel Peace Prize. So finally, he's sort of talking to her. Because in the first few days or two of the, you know, the raid, the Delta Force raid, people had said, have you spoken to Maria Corina Machado? And Trump's just like, no. No. Next, anything else? No, I haven't. No, we haven't spoken to her, no. But now he is. Finally he is. Finally he is. All right. A generic story there, another generic story, what else? Iran authorities demanding large sums for return of protesters' bodies, BBC told. The landscape beneath Antarctica's icy surface revealed in unprecedented detail. Nice, that's an interesting science one for me. I love a bit of Antarctica as well. I've done content in the past, both on my channel, History Bro, and on my history show on Lotus Eaters, Epochs, about Antarctic exploration, all about the story of Scott. Captain Scott and Captain Oates trying to get to the North Pole and getting pipped and dying in the process. Oh, and the story of Shackleton and the Endurance. Fascinated by the Arctic and the Antarctic and sort of sciencey stuff. So that's what an incredible landscape, isn't it? What an unbelievable, sort of beautiful and terrifyingly bleak at the same time. I'd like to go to the Antarctic. I'd love to go there. I'd love to see it with my own two eyeballs one day. All right, the ITV, what have we got here? Heartless images of crash victims' burnt clothing sent to family by Air India. Doesn't sound good. A generic story, that Machado story again. TikTok story. Yeah, but this TikTok thing, these kids, they don't tell you what the actual... Okay, it says, bereaved British families gather in US ahead of landmark TikTok case. And there's been some sort of trend on TikTok, apparently. I'm not on TikTok. There's some sort of trend which is obviously dangerous and can lead to death. I don't know. God knows what it is. Something to do with asphyxiation. I've honestly got no idea what it is. Because whenever you click on one of these stories about bereaved families and that kids are dying to get clicks... In the two or three stories I had a look at, it didn't actually tell you what the thing is. I mean, maybe that's fair enough because I don't want to encourage anyone else to do it if it's causing deaths. But whatever it is, I don't even know what it is. But there you go. And the families of kids that have died doing this thing, whatever it is, are like, you know, trying to take TikTok to court and stuff. So that's a story. That is a story. All right, what else have we got? Channel 4. Channel 4. Just the worst. Robert Jenrick. Disgraceful. There was one bit I saw here, one story I thought was interesting or telling about on Channel 4. Bear with me 2 seconds. What does it say? It says, this is a Channel 4 piece. Debate. What is the future of right-wing politics in the UK? We spoke to Sir Jacob Rees-Mogg. So again, a Boris era, essentially globalist, pretending that he's based. Jacob Rees-Mogg. In my opinion, a laughable scumbag. Scumbag. Pretending to be working in the interest of the people. Whilst allowing us to be flooded, invaded by foreign enemies. Jacob Rees-Mogg. He's part of the right-wing debate. The future of the right wing in UK politics. Let's ask Jacob Rees-Mogg. You're joking. Who was leader of the Commons and Brexit minister. Didn't get it done. A Brexit betrayal minister. When Boris Johnson was Prime Minister. And former Spectator editor and Conservative columnist Fraser Nelson. Fraser Nelson. Absolutely one of the worst. Someone who, in my opinion, is out of his mind. Somebody who will work tirelessly to ruin this country and joke about it as well. And joke about it behind the scenes. A discussion between Fraser Nelson and Jacob Rees-Mogg about the future of right-wing politics. That, there you go, that's Channel 4. That's what Channel 4 thinks is a reasonable, measured debate. Two people that aren't of the right and in fact have used their careers to try and destroy the right. They're talking about the future of right-wing politics. Yeah, okay, Channel 4. Yeah, all right. Yeah, sure. Sure it is. All right, Sky News. These bereaved parents say their children died taking part in viral trend. Doesn't tell you what that viral trend is. Now they're set to face TikTok in court. Okay, well. I mean, good luck to them. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm not saying anything other than good luck to the parents. I'm mildly interested in what the trend was, just because it's so key to the story. But I'm sure if I like spent a few minutes Googling it, I could find out. But I don't care that much. I'm not on TikTok. I'm not personally on TikTok. I've got no intention of ever being. Let alone doing something stupid for clicks. Just say something interesting or funny. If you're out there and you're young and you want clicks, right, you want to gain a following, find out something interesting or funny, right? And then say that to your camera. Yeah? You don't have to do anything silly that will get you hurt. You don't have to do anything humiliating. Be interesting and or funny. That's it. Don't do anything mad. Like, why would you? Well, it's in lieu of having a character, isn't it? Right? People that do things that are stupid and crazy and stuff. It's because they haven't got anything interesting to say, isn't it? Usually, nearly always. That's too much work, isn't it? To do some reading. Find out something interesting. That's too much work. To take years in order to build an actual character. Too much work. The Daily Mail, the Mail Online. Dining with his Tory colleagues last week, Robert Jenrick must have felt like Judas at the Last Supper. Andrew Pearce takes us inside the build-up to and fallout from Westminster's worst-kept secret, Anatomy of a Defection. anatomy of a defection. It's all a bit hyperbolic, isn't it? A bit overblown, a bit dramatic, that. I mean, the anatomy of a defection. All right. Jason Groves, Robert Jemrick. Oh, just more about Robert Jemrick and Kevin Badenoch. Is there anything else? Nobel Committee issues defiant message after Venezuela's opposition leader. Okay. What else? Is there anything else of massive interest? Something about Kate Moss, who used to be a supermodel, like, what, 30 years ago? Okay. All right, let's have a look. What else have we got? The Express. Oh, it's a good paper, The Express. Something about Andrew here. New nightmare for King Charles as royal family fans issue shock demand for Andrew. Yeah, it was just a story there that some royal family fans are saying, oh, come on, like, give Andrew a bit of a break. He's getting a bit silly now. I don't agree with that. I would hope to never, ever, ever see Andrew Mountbatten again or ever hear a story about him again. I'd be happy in a world where that was the case. If he just kind of just disappeared. I mean, they basically have tried to make him disappear as much as possible, but the press will still talk about him a fair bit. I would like it if not only was he disgraced to the point of basically disappearing off the radar, but that no one even ever talked about that he had disappeared off the radar and here's the latest photo of him. That's what I would prefer. Royal family braces for crisis as Meghan Markle and Prince Harry plot UK return. Yep, again, don't care about Harry and Meghan at all. Don't care what they've got to say, what they're doing, what they think. Nothing. They are nothing people. If he wasn't HRH... if he wasn't in the royal family, like, no one would care what these two people do or say or think, because they haven't got any opinions that are worthy of note, have they? They're not interesting, are they? In and of themselves, they're not interesting. All right, Labour can't even sack a failing police chief. The whole thing stinks. Yeah, it's fair enough. What's this? Something about Nigel teases bombshell Labour defection that will spark hell for Starmer. Yeah, I wonder what that will be. I wonder if that story will properly break today, on Friday the 16th. I wonder whether it's a big Labour defection, or whether it's just some backbencher most people have never heard of, or it's just a councillor. Who knows? It'd be funny. It'd be interesting. You know, that would be interesting if Reform started getting and accepting defections from Labour or Lib Dem or Green or whatever, right, or the SNP. That would be interesting. That would put a different slant on things. That it's not that they not just want to be the Teal Tories. That it really is purely an exercise in being Tory 2.0. If they got defectors from Labour or Lib Dem, say. I mean, it still wouldn't bode well in some senses in, you know, people that are actual patriots, people like me, or most people watching this, because you're like, well, you're actually taking in leftists now. But nonetheless, it would still be interesting, wouldn't it, from the point of view that it's not just about becoming the new Tory party. So we'll see. We'll see who this Labour defector is. I am genuinely interested to see. Right, The Sun. What slop of The Sun served us up today? Get the hell out. Helen Flanagan, don't know who that is, forced out of £1 million family home by Scott Sinclair, don't know who that is, as warring exes feud takes explosive turn. Don't care. Horrorful. Janice Dickinson, don't care about her, left disfigured after I'm a Celebrity fall as pic show injuries. Yeah, don't care. Janice Dickinson, don't care. Used to be a supermodel or whatever 30 years ago. She fell over. Don't care. Dying for likes. My son Jules, 14, died in my arms after deadly viral challenge, which they don't say what it is. And I'm soon TikTok in court for answers. Well, good luck to you. Why not? Good luck to you. The traitor is lame. The Sun. That's lame. Can you imagine some editor going, yes, Trey Tories, they're throwing stuff around in the bullpen. Well, let's do, what about Trey Tories? Someone really senior goes, yes, run with it, print. Pathetic. Pathetic. All right. The New York Slimes. What have the New York Slimes got? Newly released records detail chaos during fatal ICE shooting in Minneapolis. Okay, it's more mainly stuff about ICE and Venezuela in the American press today. I see we've only got 10 minutes left. And I actually want to get to this day in history a little bit today for once. Give that a bit of a whirl again. I like that. Give that a few minutes. The Washington Post: medical examiner believes death of man in ICE custody was homicide, recording says. A fellow detainee says he witnessed Geraldo Lunas Campos being choked to death by guards at an ICE detention centre in Texas on January the 3rd. Okay, maybe, maybe not. That's what the Washington Post are saying. Can't trust them to just not be liars, really. Top ICE official steps down to run for Congress in Ohio. Trump threatens to invoke Insurrection Act and deploy troops in Minnesota. Yeah, if people are preventing justice from being done, if people are preventing the police from doing their job and justice from being served, and the police themselves can't deal with it, then yeah, invoke the Insurrection Act and call in National Guard or the Army or whatever you need to do. Yeah, fine, by me, do that. In Bose, Britain, I would be using the military to enforce my policies if need be. Absolutely. Mercado's Nobel gamble, a peace offering to win over a weary Trump. All right. Okay. Let's just move on to today. On this day in history. I thought it was an interesting on this day in history. We've only got a few minutes left. See if people like this segment or not. So on January, 16th of January, in the year 27 BC... the title of Augustus is bestowed upon Gaius Julius Caesar Octavianus by the Roman Senate. So that's Octavian, Julius Caesar's grandnephew, who'd won the Battle of Actium a few years before. It's the Battle of Actium, like 31 BC or something, a few years before, and becomes sort of the sole ruler of the Roman world. This is in the generation after Julius Caesar. And in 27 BC... finally, the Senate say, accept the title of Augustus. Augustus is a title, not a name. And it means sort of, there's various connotations, religious connotations to it, actually. You're like the father of the country in some way. You know, you are august. You know, even the modern connotation, you sort of get it. And you're sort of the most august father of the nation type thing, with even with religious overtones. It's like, it's an incredible title. It's an incredible title. And he still wasn't even that old. What was he in? I think he was in his 30s. Was he in his 30s at that point? So still a young man, effectively. So that happened on this day in the year 27 BC. In 1412, the Medici family is appointed official banker of the papacy. Again, on lotuseaters.com, on my show, Epochs. My show behind the paywall, Epochs there. I've got a few bits of content all about, well, Augustus, but also about the Medici family. And so 1412 is a big one. You know, once you become the personal bankers of the papacy, you become one of the biggest banks in the world at that point, if not the biggest bank in the world, essentially, in essence. Okay, on this day in 1547, Ivan the Terrible, aged 17, crowns himself the first Tsar of Russia. Talk a little bit about Ivan the Terrible in a piece of content I did on Epochs in conversation with Apostolic Majesty, one of the greatest history YouTubers out there at the moment. Apostolic Majesty, true genius of a man. We talk a little bit about that. Ivan the Terrible, an incredible life. Both Augustus and Ivan the Terrible, incredible figures in history. If you've got a little bit of time and you're a history person and you're interested and... you're looking for something new to watch a video about. You could do worse than, you know, watch a biography about Ivan the Terrible or Augustus. There you go. On this day in 1605, first edition of El Ingenicio Hidalgo Don Quixote de la Mancha was published by Cervantes, was published in Madrid. Don Quixote. Interesting? Kind of. In 1793, French King Louis XVI was sentenced to death by the National Convention during the French Revolution. And subsequently got his head guillotined off in public, by the way. On this day, in 1913, the British House of Commons accepts Home Rule for Ireland. Yay, go Ireland. But the Great War, World War One, got in the way of it happening. Which was a shame, really, because by 1916, the Irish had like sort of had enough and, you know, did an insurrection type thing. And there you go, still a pretty big day, really, I suppose. Well, it is for an Irishman. Or for all Brits, really, sort of an important landmark thing. On this day, in 1919, the 18th Amendment of the US Constitution, authorising the prohibition of alcohol, is ratified by a majority of the US states. That's interesting, isn't it? They thought that abstinence would be a way to a better society. If we just ban alcohol... Sorry, I thought it was the land of the free. I mean, they just completely banned alcohol. That would make for less drunkenness, which would mean, you know, less joblessness, less domestic violence, just a better country. If we banned alcohol, well, that's not how it worked. It just became a massive underground. It just caused an explosion in organised crime. So the best laid intentions often, you know, create paths to hell. To be fair, the people that were calling for, you know, alcoholic abstinence, they had the best intentions. And they didn't know that it would cause an explosion in organised crime, but it did. Okay, on this day in 1920, the League of Nations holds its first council meeting in Paris. The doomed League of Nations, the precursor to the UN. There you go. Okay, with 5 minutes left to go then, let's do some super chats and rumble rants. The rumble rants. Rick TWGP says, "Morning, mate. Are you not covering what Viktor Orban exposed about Sir Queer's backdoor re-entry into the EU at that meeting in Hungary a couple of days ago?" No, I guess not. I mean, I can do going forward if it appears in the news. I mean, this show is meant to be whatever's in the news, whatever's on the front pages and in the news. I mean, once or twice here or there, I'll take something. Like the other day, I talked about Hillary Clinton, didn't I? And Bill Clinton, who didn't turn up for their hearings. Incidentally, Hillary didn't turn up on Wednesday for her hearing. And therefore, she and Bill can be prosecuted for, like, contempt, basically. So once in a blue moon, here or there, I'll take a story which isn't on the front pages and in the news, if I think it's particularly interesting or important. But otherwise, the point of the show is that it's what the rest of the world, the mainstream media, the legacy media are talking about that day. That's the point of the show. So the fact that that didn't really show up, that Viktor, although interesting, I'm not denying it's not interesting and important, although it didn't really register in the news cycle. So I didn't talk about it. So, you know, sorry, but... Okay, Fictagia says, Nigel saying, "We are Reform, we at Reform would like to reveal the defector from Labour, Sir Keir Starmer." Yeah, it'd be funny, wouldn't it? Obviously, that would not happen, but funny anyway. Exile 29 says, "It would appear Dominic Cummings got it wrong. It would seem the Tory party isn't the town vagrant that's passed out in a wheelbarrow. They are the town vagrant that is punching itself in the face." Yeah. Yeah. The town vagrant that's just like got a broken bottle and slitting his own wrists or something. God knows what. I mean, that's a dark image, isn't it? Not Muse says, "Good boning, my fellow boners." Bow with a B-E-A-U. I like bow puns. There's lots of them out there. I like them. Well, thank you for that, Notch Muse. Although, okay. Alright, let's do a few YouTube super chats. Dickie Earl 4998 says, Ofcom are going to need your texts in real time. It's now de facto illegal to be right wing. PJW covered this. Is that Paul Joseph Watson? Covered this. Lotus Boys need to give this a spotlight. Right, yeah, I mean, yeah. I think, have we done a full segment on it in the afternoon podcast yet? If not, I think we have. If not, then we'll at some point, I'm sure. But I'm a big fan of PJW. PJ, yes. He put that on his luggage. PJ. And when he followed me on Twitter, I was like, oh, I'm like a little bit of a fan of PJW. Okay. Guy from Stoke 6084 says, Bobby Jenrick is Israel first. Yeah. Yeah, he is, yeah. Yeah, like I said, not a word about Wayne Broadhurst, but there's a shooting at a synagogue. And the sky's falling now, apparently. LJNV says, time to threaten politicians if they threaten us with demographic replacement. Can't condone inciting violence. Prank caller. Zajutes 149. With Jenrick out, there is a tiny chance that Tory CC, Central Command, may ask Lowe to replace Badenoch. Tories with Lowe in charge is a vote splitter for the right. Yeah, I don't know. There's all sorts of angles and stories and possibilities of it, along the lines of Rupert Lowe taking over the Conservatives. I don't like any of that. I don't want any of that. I want the Tory party as it is, as an entity, to completely die. I would like to see Rupert Lowe make his own thing. Why would you want such a broken and dysfunctional and corrupt thing like the Tory party? Why would you want to try and save it? It's so damaged. It's so poisonous. I don't want Rupert to have any association with it. Why would you? It's a sinking ship. A sinking poison ship. Don't go near it. But anyway, I know that's not exactly what you're saying, but that's just my take. Okay, Principled Uncertainty, all right, mate? Says, no one wants Nigel's centrist supergroup. Not what we ordered. Yeah, exactly. Perfectly right. Yep. So Jukes 149 said, lads, our idea, make a tier rating of teas. It's not a bad idea. I love tea. I love talking about tea, drinking tea. I could do that. I could make an hour and a half out of that. I don't know if we ever will do that, but it's not a bad idea. LJMV again. I don't know if that's how you want it said, but says, you still think democracy works? ? To an extent, yeah. Yeah. I don't really buy the Duma angle that it's all a complete facade. I mean, it largely is. I accept that. It largely is, but not entirely. You can get things changed at the ballot box still. Kinda, maybe. I do accept that angle largely, but just not entirely. When people say it's a complete waste of time, it's complete nonsense. I don't accept that. I don't think it is. All right. LJMV also says, Bo, have you heard of Asher Logos? Invite him for a talk over video chat. I have never heard of Asher Logos, I'm afraid. I'll Google him a bit later, but. So I'm sorry, I haven't heard of them. What can I say? Sorry. Nope. Okay. Neil Henderson, 9805, says, the RRS discovery in Dundee is worth a visit. As close as you can get to Scott and Shackleton without leaving the UK and going to Antarctica. Right, the discovery. Right, yeah, I'd love to see that. I'd love to go there and see that. There's a ship, an earlier ship, the discovery. What is it? I think that was the ship, if memory serves. That both Scott and Shackleton were on earlier on, like right at the turn of the 20th century, like 1901 or 1903 or something. This is before Shackleton and Scott's most famous expeditions. And Scott was the captain, and Shackleton was just one of the men under him. If memory serves, I hope I haven't got that disastrously wrong. But I think that was the discovery. Yeah, I'd love to go and see that. All right, and the last one there is IXZO YT says, first time watching the morning show. Most fun start to the day I've had. Keep up the good work, Bo. Big fan. £10. Boom. Lovely. Brilliant. You are members of Bo's Breakfast Club, the chosen band, the glorious few. Thank you for tuning in. Appreciate it. I know it sounds like a silly, flippant, throwaway cliche, but it is true that it wouldn't be anything without you guys. So it's an honour and a pleasure to talk to you every morning. It really is. I'm enjoying it. I hope you guys are. Doesn't feel like work to me, right? Just come in and just talk about what's in the news. Fun, almost. All right, so today is the first day of the rest of your life. Try and make it count. You'll only have this day in history once in your life. Carpe diem, seize the day. If there's anyone out there you love and you haven't told them that recently, do make an effort to do that today. Until tomorrow. Or until Monday, rather. It's Friday, isn't it? Sorry. Until Monday. Take care.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.